thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 205-482-1779. That's how you that's my number. It's 251-343-0106 is how you get in touch with the program. Hit us up on that text line if you would. Joining us now on the line, he is now our Secretary of State. I'm very delighted to introduce Secretary Wes Allen. Good morning, Secretary. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Just call me Wes.
All right, Wes. Before we get into the business of state, let's talk about how it's going. Inauguration, obviously, earlier this week. New office. Are you settling in? Everything going as planned?
Yeah, Jeff. It's been a great week. Obviously, you know, sworn in on Monday, and that was a wonderful day. Very, very humbling experience to go through. To know that the people of Alabama have put their trust in you to lead this office. And so it's a very humbling experience. And then we got right to work, and, you know, we had our staff put together, and, you know, we're here and working and going through lots of things. And as you can imagine, there are many things that we're trying to just, you know, get our brains wrapped around, get our arms wrapped around, and go through the process of learning everything there as far as, ins and outs and whatnot. But yeah, it's been going really good, and we're pleased to you know, finally be in here and getting to work for the people of this state.
And some people may not realize this, but I mean, it's not like you're coming just fresh out of water here. You were the Pike County probate judge. You know, sort of what this this work entails, right?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, of course, I've been on your program many times, lots of times throughout the campaign, you know, for this office. And we were a probate judge back from 2009 to 2018 in Pike County. And then we ran for the House seat there representing District 89. So we got the local experience in the courthouse serving our local folks there. And then, of course, the legislative experience, serving one term in the House of Representatives, representing District 89, Pike and Dale counties, and that wonderful district, and then taking that experience, courthouse to the state house to the state capitol, and so we're settling in and getting to work and excited about what's in front of us.
So what are your first acts? You came down and I got a copy of the letter, or the memo, I should say, right here in front of me, but withdrawing from ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, no longer Alabama will be participating in that. And I didn't realize this until I saw your tweet, but it sounds to me, Secretary, like there is it's a one-way thing that you don't, you know, people, I guess the conception is, or the perception is we feed a bunch of data into it and then all these states sort of share off of it. But the way you described it is the state really provides data for this database, but there's not a mechanism where you could just go search it, right?
Correct. You're exactly right. When we put that tweet out, I guess it was last night, you know, I put it out to take a look in. You're right. There is a lot of misconception about what's been going on with this thing. So we want to be very, very clear that, you know, even though we're sending our data and it's running through that system, we get our data back. It's not like we have some computer sitting over here on my desk or our desk over here and shared database where we can search other member states. That's not what's going on here at all. We're sending data from Alabama residents to this private out-of-state group, and even information on minors as well who are about to turn 18 years old. So it was very, very concerning, and that's one of the reasons we got out of it. And, you know, I just want to make clear too, Jeff, that I work for the people of Alabama, and they made it clear to me that they don't want their personal info and their personal info of their children going to this private out-of-state group. So, you know, we're ending our relationship with ERIC.
Well, and this became a campaign issue, not so much between you and your competitors in that race, but your predecessor, Secretary Merrill. But the reasoning was at the time, if I recall, that some of the money that was financing this database was coming from these far left entities, like maybe a George Soros or something like that. Can you talk a little bit about the origins of this?
Yeah, so, you know, I think I was back in February, I think I went on the radio with you. It was one of my first interview when we decided that, you know, during the campaign, we were going to, you know, make the promise that we were going to get out if we were elected. And, but the origins of this ERIC system goes back a long way. And the seed money was Pew Charitable Trust and the funding partner of them with Open, you know, name's slipping me now, but George Soros group that helped get Pew going and helped get that ERIC going. So that seed money is no doubt gone, but the member states now fund it and keep it going. But, you know, it's only got three employees that work for it, and questionable seed money about how this thing got going. And from what we've seen, our determination, you know, we made the promise on the campaign trail, we're getting Alabama out of it.
And not to relitigate all this, but what was the benefit in the first place of being part of this, or was there one?
Well, it was sold to make sure that our voter list were kept clean. So anybody leaving the state, passing away, you know, anybody put in jail or prison for one of the qualifying offenses was taken off of our voter rolls. And listen, you're not going to get any argument from me of maintaining clean voter rolls. I mean, that's where it all starts. And the board of registrars are important members and partners in keeping our voter list maintained. And because that's the foundation of voting integrity and security. So, but that's how it was sold. But listen, here's the deal. The left, one of their holy grails is really automatic voter registration, Jeff. That's what they want. They knew they couldn't get that passed in red states. And so what they did was, you know, they wanted basically taxpayers to pay for this data mining is what was going on. And so it was a way to really identify who was not registered to vote. So when all that information was flowing out of the state to this private out-of-state group, ERIC, they were identifying who was not registered to vote, who was eligible, but who was not registered. And then per the contract, the state would have to contact these voters and encourage them to get registered to vote. And so, you know, there were some states that were involved with that Zuckerberg group, the CEIR, Center for Election Integrity and Research.
Right.
You know, there were some emails to suggest that some of that information from other states was being shared with that Zuckerberg group. And of course, you know, my past history about passing that legislation about Zuckerberg and banning the private money flowing into public offices to help, you know, quote unquote, administer elections. So, that's one thing that we're going to do in this office is to protect our personal data here in the Secretary of State's office, but at the same time, maintain clean voter rolls.
Well, it sounds to me like maybe under your leadership in that office, like I always heard like, well, maybe we need to look at getting voter turnout up or we need to get voter registration higher or whatever. But maybe that deviates from the duties of the office, which I think is the chief election official. Now, the Secretary of State does a lot more than just elections, but in this capacity, as far as elections go, it's just maintaining the integrity of the elections and making sure that they're on the up and up as much as possible.
Now, that's a great point. You know, I had that question a lot about on the campaign trail, Jeff. I think you may have been there at one of our during the runoff. One of the questions was, I think you were there actually, is in Mobile, that, you know, what are we going to do about turnout? Turnout's always so low. Well, you know, my philosophy is, working with probate judges, circuit clerks and sheriffs and boards of registrars and all our poll workers around the state, our job is to help give them the resources that they need and to make sure our elections are run in the most safe, secure, and transparent way possible. Our job is not to, turn people out. That is the job of the candidate, to get people excited to go to the polls. Our job is to make sure Alabama elections are the safest in the country.
Secretary, and excuse me if I'm jumping the gun here. I know it's just a few days into office here, but one thing just kind of I wanted to ask you about, that typically in that role, maybe you got some legislative priorities. You'd like to see some things change with state law. Have you given that any thought at this point?
I'm sorry, Jeff, repeat that one more time. You broke up just a hair.
In this role as Secretary of State, that sometimes you have like a legislative agenda that you would like to see fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I know we're just like four days or so into your tenure here, but have you given that much thought? What would you like to see the legislature tackle as it pertains to the issues involving your office?
Yeah, no, there were a couple bills last year that we just ran out of time on and didn't get to during the last regular session back in 22. And two of those represent our state senator Clyde Chambliss had that I think we'll approach again and we'll get behind. And that number one is that we'll always have paper ballots in Alabama. So it's we want to put that into state statute. It's administrative code now, but we want to make sure and strengthen that and make sure we will always have paper ballots because, it's receipts, basically. And you can go back and check, if something is it looks funny. So you always have paper ballots. That's important. And then also put in the state code that, the machines will never be connected and have ability to be connected to the Internet, either through Bluetooth or any modems or anything that way, any of the tabulating machines and whatnot that actually take in the ballots. None of that can be connected or have the capability of being connected to the Internet. So those two bills, I think, will receive some top priority of attention.
Well, and I hear this a lot about the connectivity issues, that there is a Bluetooth component to the electronic poll books, that despite there not being a modem on some of these machines, that you could add one. I mean, does where we are right now, are there things that we need to be concerned about as far as the connectivity issue goes?
No, not at all, because that has nothing to do with the tabulating machine. When you go in and take your driver's license and they got those poll pads, when you walk into your precinct, it's just checking you off and making sure, that somebody doesn't try to come back to another location or come back in and double vote again. So that's why that's in place there. But there's no need to worry on our tabulating machines.
Secretary, I'm sorry, it's just a habit, Wes.
I understand.
The other, where there does seem to be the most potential for any kind of voter fraud or discrepancies, though, it's the absentee ballot system. And there's a case underway right now, I think, in Perry County, the AG's involved. But I mean, looking at that, and you always see these weird numbers where the participation in Wilcox County or Perry County, maybe there's another one out there that I'm forgetting, but the participation seems to lean very heavily on the absentee balloting, and it raises questions if there's some kind of ballot harvesting going on. I mean, when you look at, the potential for voter fraud or any of that going on in Alabama, does that raise any red flags for you?
Well, ballot harvesting, as it pertains to absentee ballots, is concerning. I don't know if you remember, but last session, I brought an amendment to one of the election bills that we had on the floor concerning ballot harvesting. I even had a bill of my own that we got out of committee, but there again, there's so many bills competing for airtime and space on the floor and getting passed, and we just didn't get across the finish line. But there's a cottage industry, we want to make sure there is no cottage industry of people that are getting paid to go out and help people with their applications or and or filling out their absentee ballots. You know, if you want to help somebody, Jeff, with just out of the goodness of your heart, help somebody that's shut in or somebody that may, you know, in your Sunday school class, for listeners out there that they need to help somebody out of the goodness of their heart, that's fine. But as far as somebody having incentive by getting paid by a third party or paying a third party to go out and to harvest absentee ballots, either by helping with the application process or helping with the absentee ballot itself, you know, that's something we want to focus on too, as well with legislation as well. So I had that bill last year, and you know, we'll probably focus on that one again this year.
Wes, I appreciate your time. Hopefully this is the first of many appearances you'll do as Secretary of State, but thanks for coming on, and we'll get you on again soon.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you for your time. That was Secretary of State Wes Allen there on the program. We got to get another break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.